If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
Another thing that has been questioned was, of course, the gathering of the evidence at the scene. Solo cups, leaf blowers involved. Let's take a listen to some of that testimony and talk on the other side.
As far as the leaf blower was concerned, why was that a decision as far as that being an implement to use in this particular scene?
It was a unique scene. There was snow. I had never processed a scene in the snow. I had seen a leaf blower used in the snow, and it's quite effective at being controlled. So that's why it was readily accessible. The scene was debilitating as we were on scene with the weather. Snow was piling up. And I thought that was the best method at that time.
Had you ever used a leaf blower in a crime scene preservation effort?
First time.
And you indicated your testimony was temporary evidence containers to collect that blood, correct?
Yep, we utilized cups, plastic cups.
Those were red Solo cups, right?
That's correct.
The same kind of red Solo cup you'd drink beer out of at a barbecue?
Yeah, sure, you could.
Objection, Your Honor. Strike.
I'll allow it.
There's nothing special about the red Solo cup?
Other than they're plastic, nothing special.
And where did you get those red Solo cups?
We got them from Lieutenant Kelleher.
So in other words, you got the, to use your words, the evidence containers from a neighbor.
Correct.
He had some Solo cups in his house.
Now, we asked him if he had any plastic containers, any type of plastic container that we could utilize.
Were they just doing the best that they had with the tools that they did or didn't have at that moment in time? Or should this have been done a little more by the book? But do consider they just got a confession as well.
Well, did they?
Yeah. Well, did they?
Remember,
yeah. In their mind, I think they thought they did.
Right. None of the cops heard that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's like none of the cops got a confession. You've got and McLaughlin testified that she didn't talk to Proctor until the following day.
Okay.
So I don't know when she relays that information. If that happens beforehand at any point, other than she claims, again, I'm going to go jump back to McLaughlin before I get to this particular witness, Lank, or no, that wasn't even Lank, but when she says that when Karen Reed said, I did it, that there was another cop. She couldn't identify who it was, but it had to have been at that point, either Seraph or Mulaney, because those were the two cops that were around there. And again, neither of them testified that they heard her saying, I did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and that's when they said, oh, get Goody down here.
Yeah.
And Goody's the other cop. So at that point, I don't know. In terms of the collection of that evidence, it's disgusting. It's despicable. Defense attorneys live for the processing of a crime scene like this because mm-hmm. it's like everything was contaminated. I think that anything that they would have found is useless scientifically. I mean, we're talking, they go to a neighbor who he's handling the cups.
Yeah.
His DNA is all over the cups.
Yeah.
Like, they're exposed. There's no sealing of the cups other than to put them in a shop and save paper bag. You know, it's terrible. They should have taken the time. Their excuse is obviously the weather, the inclement weather, you know, that they have a nor'easter coming in. I mean, you got to deal with stuff like that. And the leaf blower is insane. Yeah. I've just never heard of somebody using a leaf blower to process a crime scene. Talking about blowing the evidence away, like quite literally.
Literally, yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, that had to have occurred. So, yeah, it's when we get to that portion of the case, like in earnest, when we're getting the experts on, that's where this case is going to really, really get interesting, because those are the stronger facts that make me scratch my head much more than the concept of this being a widespread conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like in my world, like I've said, I think it was on our last time that we did this, you know, this is like six or seven people all in a house that may have something, you know, to lose in terms of if something went on in that house and they're all privy to it, them clamming up, and then it stops there with maybe the exception of Proctor, you know, and like going beyond that, I'm just not buying it.
Yeah.
You know, but when we start getting these facts and when we start seeing the injuries that were sustained by O'Keefe, and you know, that's the stuff where I'm like, man, I don't know that it seems like he was hit by a vehicle. Like, some of these injuries do not seem consistent with that. So then, you know, that's where my mind will really be racing, when I can actually hear the testimony about the injuries and mm-hmm. when that Google search by Jen McCabe, whether that actually took place at 2:37 a.m., the how long to die in cold. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the things that have put my mind in the, well, maybe something went on in that house, as opposed to maybe she accidentally backed into him mm-hmm. type mindset, that where it's I'm willing to go either way,
yeah.
depending on which way the evidence leads.
Yeah, no, I completely hear you. I don't know either yet. I'm not jumping onto either camp. It's just, there's every day there's just more information that leads you with the more questions than it does answers.
Sure does, I
feel like I don't know that they're ever going to honestly get a solution here or get justice for John O'Keefe. Not meaning that Karen Reeds needs to be locked away, because that would be justice. I don't know. I just don't know that everyone here in this circle is capable of recalling actually what happened to know the truth of the situation.
Exactly. And you know, if something went on in that house, you could be guaranteed that when they're called to the stand, they're not going to be admitting to anything,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's going to boil down to, can Alan Jackson and Yannetti get to them? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like if I've seen Alan Jackson at work back when he was a prosecutor, he prosecuted Phil Spector in that trial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's an unbelievable lawyer. The guy is a master of cross-examination. So if anybody can do it, he's going to be the guy, you know. But and it's like a parade of people to where, you know, they all might not be able to withstand an intense cross-examination, and they may crack, or if there's inconsistencies which just don't lead up. I mean, to me, the biggest thing in terms of those folks leaving that house at, you know, 1:30, 1:40 a.m., that not one of them sees a body laying 15 yards away at the front of that yard, walking out of that property.
Yeah.
You know, because I'll be anxious to know, was the porch light on?
Yeah.
Was the stoop light on? Was there some illumination? You know, because we know that John O'Keefe was not buried.
No, not at that
30
time.
Inches of snow, and not at that time. So that's mysterious to me. Not one person sees a lump over there and is like, mm-hmm. what is that?
Or if
especially
they're
when you've got a pristine
yeah.
body of freshly fallen snow,
mm-hmm.
you're going to see something like that.
Sure.
You know, and just think about, like, I live in an area where it snows,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you have a fresh bed of snow lying down and you've got either street lights or something illuminating it, it's bright.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I don't know that it's a fascinating trial. And yeah. I'm ready to get into the nuts and the bolts of it. Like yeah. I'm over the civilian witnesses. I want to start getting to the meat of it. You know, I'm ready for it.
It will continue to be fascinating.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.